This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. One of the sectors most grievously affected by the pandemic has been seafaring. As the pandemic hit, more than 400,000 seafarers were kept on their ships, and at least another 400,000 were kept from starting their new contracts. Meanwhile, the aviation industry, which seafarers depend on to get back home, has been devastated. It should be remembered that it is the world's seafarers who are transporting essential personal equipment to help confront the pandemic. In an effort to help the seafarers and improve their conditions in the future, more than 300 corporations and other organizations have signed a pledge to tackle the crew change crisis and improve health protocols. They have approved the Neptune Declaration, which is designed to hold companies responsible for the working conditions they impose. To find out more about the declaration, I talked to Steve Cotton. Mr. Cotton is the General Secretary of the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF has 20 million members in 667 unions around the world. I asked Mr. Cotton first to describe the crisis amongst the seafarers.
Since the impact of the initial outbreak in early 2020, the highest numbers we believe, because it's not an exact science, is 400,000. But if you have 400,000 on board ships, but if you imagine, frankly, all seafarers are impacted by the logistic challenges of joining ships. Because we have an international workforce, it's overly dependent on civil aviation, and the civil aviation has been decimated by the process. We've seen that 400,000 literally on board, but our estimation, if you use the word impact, is double that, and different times people either on board for over contract or people at home trying to get to work has had a massive impact. Particularly worrying at the moment is the latest mutation. Countries like the Philippines, who we've worked very closely with our big unions, biggest seafarer supplying country in the world, the mutation has now seen up to 37 countries on their list of restrictions because of this new variant of the COVID-19 disease. So we are really gravely worried that governments are moving back and forwards between locking down restrictions and free movement. And obviously the question of fatigue and the impact on the workforce is quite dramatic.
327 companies and organizations have signed what is called the Neptune Declaration. What is the declaration and what does it call on ship owners to do?
This is a global maritime forum where the ITF has been active in this process. I think throughout this period, we've been working very closely with the International Maritime Organization and the International Labour Organization about the enforcement of maritime regulations in the IMO and International Labour Organization regulations in the ILO. And Neptune is a kind of coalition of the willing made up of ship owners, charterers, who've recognized that we need to raise the standard and protect seafarers in the most dynamic of ways. And that challenge has come about with protocols we've worked collaboratively with the International Chamber of Shipping, the ICS, that were then ratified by the IMO about pre-embarkation testing, PCR testing, pre-embarkation isolation, all these issues. And what we see here is what we would describe as the better companies saying we've got to do more and we need to commit. The four points of action that they're calling on are primarily recognizing seafarers as key workers and giving them priority access COVID-19 vaccinations, establishing and implementing gold standard health protocols based on these practices we've developed with the industry, increase collaboration between ship operators and their charterers to ensure safe and on-time crew changes, ensuring, and this one is very challenging because we don't have civil aviation in the middle of it, ensuring air connectivity between critical maritime hubs for seafarers.
What does your organization, the ITF, think of the declaration?
Well, we represent 20 million transport workers, and many of our transport workers, civil aviation, decimated by the COVID pandemic. When Maritime is a little bit different to some of our other sectors in the sense that we have a history of collaboration and cooperating. The Maritime Labour Convention ratified by the ILO is an example where we put in a global standard with teeth. It's been very much tested throughout this pandemic, but it's good when groups come together. The extended group is NGOs and other parties are coming to us, you know, wanting to sign up, welfare organisations, frankly, anybody that touches shipping and or seafarers are coming forward as a mandate. And we've done a lot of work over the last 11 months with the multinationals, the Consumer Goods Forum. And so we're happy about that. But I think there are some challenges about governments and their ability to recognise the COVID impact moving back and forward. So we've had very strong support from transport departments in most of the world's governments, but it doesn't always move into the policy implementation inside governments and the power thresholds, because naturally governments are defending their citizens. And that question about the balance of authority and power between transport departments and Home Office or Homeland Security or whatever area, whichever country you come to. So we're really worried, and we have got big traction, 47 countries signing up seafarers as key workers, driving economies, insuring pharmaceuticals. Or, and frankly, at the moment, shipping isn't really carrying vaccinations, but it is carrying personal protection equipment, syringes, other things that are all part of the process. Probably the final message is we are disappointed that not more charterers are coming forward and embracing the industry's responsibility about getting seafarers on and off. We've seen a growing number, we hear this from the ship owners, that certainly in the dry sector, they can't fix their ships if they raise crew change. So, you know, if there's a crew that's freshly been changed and another crew that are due for change, that the one that's been changed will get the charter, which is kind of, yes, a practicality, because of course they want to move their goods, but this isn't a business issue. This is an unexpected global pandemic where we've all pulled together. So I think for us, we need more charterers to sign up. We also question in some ways, you know, our shipping industry is somewhat fragmented, and the fact we got the numbers down from the height of 400,000 towards the end of last year is because of the tenacity and creativity of the industry rather than a global solution. And we've had some really interesting conversations with the clients of the shipping industry. As I say, multinationals like Unilever, Danone have come forward and said seafarers' well-being is critical. Their global supply chains have to respect human rights, trade union rights. And that then raises the question about those that haven't signed the declaration. On what level would they not sign a declaration that recognises that humanity and workers have, irrespective of where you sit in the world, have kept the supply chains moving, have ensured that our heroes in first frontline medical care have had equipment when we found out that we were woefully inadequately supplied. It's all been moved by the world's transport workers, and in particular by our world's seafarers. So I think our big message is we're positive with the declaration, but we're a long way from a solution. And particularly, I think the big question is with the rollout of vaccinations, the equitable distribution of vaccination. We are making a bid for our seafarers to be treated out with national government protocols, respecting defending those most in need first, because we believe they need to be recognised. We're also challenging, you know, for us, our truck drivers who go cross-border, we anticipate there'll be challenges for all transport workers. And within a period of time, that there'll need to be processes that register and understand that we have had tests or we are vaccinated. But I think the challenge is for the world to recognise shipping. And again, perhaps throughout this COVID period, it's had a heightened sense of sensitivity to just how you're breakfast cereals get to the table, and for us, I think those seafarers of all the nationalities from all over the world that are tireless 365 days a year operating on ships 7 days a week need our thoughts, and this declaration is a helpful acknowledgement and recognition for their work.